All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of Behind the Counter. It's been a couple of weeks. It's really hot in here, so we'll get through it together. I'm your host, Rich Stamboline, and with me, as always, star of season 3 of Orange is the New Black, Jonathan Adler.
Just call me Poussey.
Have you seen the season?
Yeah.
I'm making my way through it.
I finished it in 2 days.
What did you think, John?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I really loved it.
I think it's a little more fictionalized than the first season.
Yes.
It's a little softer. That's the one thing. It's very soap opera-y.
Well, I don't think I think the first one you had a little bit more danger with, you felt like it was much more of a dangerous situation, but yeah. Everyone knows each other. That's why they had to kind of bring in a threat this year. Because like everyone's kind of like, oh, we're all friends.
Yeah.
How long is her sentence?
1,000 years.
It feels like it.
It was supposed to be 12 months. And
it's been way extended.
I think it got extended.
3 years or something like that? 4 years?
No.
Something like that, yeah. But it hasn't been that long that she started.
I think it's only been like 6 months.
Yeah.
So you're getting another season out of this.
Oh, yeah. Before this was even airing,
it's ridiculous.
They negotiated for a new season.
The episode I caught last night was The Return of Mendez.
The Return
of Mendez? Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Porn Stash.
Porn Stash.
When he came back.
Like him.
I was surprised how they did that storyline.
Great character. A lot of great characters on the show.
I like, I hope she goes to jail. The warden. The assistant warden.
Yes.
I hate her.
Yeah.
I love the other guy.
Healy?
Healy? No, not Healy.
Caputo. Well, remember, he hasn't seen a lot of it.
No, but I like, what's his name?
Caputo?
Caputo, yeah.
<He's awesome. laughs>
I like Healy. Yeah. I like
Ugh,
him.
Ugh, hate Healy.
There's so much character behind him. He's all screwed up. Mm.
I got around to watching World War Z last night.
First time?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Awesome.
I liked it, man. I found the end of the movie to be a little anticlimactic, but you agree?
So many people shit on it, though. So many people shit on that movie. They're like, oh, no, this movie sucked. It wasn't awful.
Great, great movie. A lot of awesome action, like really awesome zombie stuff, like really cool action. Amazing, right?
I thought it was awesome.
A lot of horrific stuff.
Too.
The ending left much to be desired with like, oh, it's the common cold.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I mind that. The major rushing.
What was the ending again? How did it end?
He inoculates himself with the
virus.
The virus, and he's able to not, because he's infected. He can't get bitten by zombies.
Yeah.
They don't want anything to do with him.
But they figured out it was just like a regular virus, and they found a cure.
No. He puts like basically measles or something into him. And
it was measles.
Yeah, and then that way they're able, because they think he's damaged.
Oh, yeah, because they don't go after
he's
sick
diseased.
People. Yeah.
Yeah, he gave himself typhoid, and then that was the end of the movie.
Yeah.
It was
typhoid?
I don't like the fact that... It was something weird.
I really don't like the fact that... I don't think they ever say what it really was. I don't like the fact that the... Because, I mean, you read the book, right?
No.
The book is so incredible. You didn't read the book.
I did read the book.
Uh-huh. The...
read the wiki on it.
Yeah, exactly.
I did have to read the book.
You read the handbook. That's
the
thing.
The Zombie Survival Guide? No, but I have World War Z also.
Okay. I don't like the fact that they had that like cool moment where everyone's getting kicked off the aircraft carrier, and then like, you know, you don't know where really the his family's going to turn up, and like miraculously he's able to find them, no problem, even though they're off the grid at this point.
Well, the guy helped him out by telling him where, you know.
Yeah.
Did you have a hard time understanding what the UN secretary was saying?
No, I was okay with that.
Yeah.
The African guy.
Yeah. I kept having to rewind a little bit. I'm usually really good with accents, but like I had the sound turned way up, and it just sounded like he was underwater.
He is underwater.
He's fish man. I dug it. It was good.
So why do you think so many people hated it initially when it came out? Because
it's not Walking Dead, and because
it wasn't the book.
It wasn't the book. It's not Walking Dead.
It was very well received.
A lot of people dumped on that movie, though.
Yeah, it did tremendous numbers, and it did pretty good critically as well.
Because when I watched it, I went into it thinking this is going to suck because of all the people hating it. Mm-hmm. And then I watched it, I'm like, wow, this was actually pretty good.
I thought it was pretty intense. I really was into the thousands of zombies, like the horde of zombies is pretty awesome. I thought all the set pieces were pretty, action pieces were like pretty awesome.
How like Israel fell apart.
Just turned the loudspeakers down, they would have not had the problem.
It was the loudspeakers, man.
Yeah.
Don't let the Palestinians in.
That's what it said.
If you're tuning in, this is not a political show.
This is JTF.
This is the opposite.
JTF at 4:48 in the p.m.
Yeah, on channel 35, Queens Public Access.
Screw Mayor Dinkins.
This is the opposite of a political show. We talk about comic books.
I saw, what was it, The Raid 2?
Yeah, you were saying it was it blows the Raid 1 out of the water.
It does. That is one of the most perfect action movies I ever saw in my life.
Really?
Perfect. So perfect.
Oh, are you comparing it to the Raid 1? Because that was a pretty phenomenal action movie.
Kills it. Like, it really, because I did some reading on it afterwards. The dude wrote and choreographed everything for Raid 2, but he didn't have enough money to make it. So they made this extra story called the Raid 1 to just raise some money for it.
Okay.
And Raid 2 is like more characters, bigger set pieces.
More butt kicking.
More butt kicking. So much butt kicking.
I'm trying to get the wife to watch Judge Dredd.
Oh, that's awesome,
go
too.
For it. I know.
So awesome.
She was like, we were flipping through Netflix last night, and I had to try to at least make this tangential.
It's all about Taco Bell. Books. It's a giant infomercial for Taco Bell.
Yes. I try to make this tangential to comic books, but she's like, I don't even know who that guy is. And I'm like, he is the number one cop in Mega City 1, and he destroys all the bad guys.
Yeah.
She's like, what's the movie about? I'm like, he's in a building, and he just shoots people in the face
RoboCop.
For 3 hours.
RoboCop, yes. Yeah. He's a British RoboCop.
I love the fact
with
that.
With Sly Stallone.
Judge Dredd, this is not, not talking about that one.
I'm talking about that one.
This one was so good because I like the fact there wasn't an origin story. They just throw you into the middle of like you're picking up an issue of 2000 AD.
Yeah, yeah.
What was I going to say about that? I don't remember.
Give me some news, John.
News. Let's talk some news. Michael Fassbender was arrested this afternoon.
Yeah, for what?
I don't. I think drunken, disorderly.
Why
stuff.
Not?
And they found out it wasn't really Michael Fassbender. It was another guy named Michael Fassbender.
Really?
Let's see. Brian Fuller taking over American Gods.
Okay.
As a TV showrunner. Brian Fuller did Pushing Daisies, which I never personally saw. Heard a lot of good things about it. He also does Hannibal. Hannibal is the best network television show out there right now.
Apparently Hannibal is pretty kick-ass from what I'm told, man.
Hannibal is incredible.
Yeah.
Hannibal is... What are you about to say?
No, it's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you a fan?
I'm a huge fan. I really think that was like one of the last season was one of the best seasons I've seen for any show.
Do you watch Hannibal?
I haven't seen all of it, but it's really good. Mm-hmm. The ones that I have seen.
It's gorgeous.
Do you watch Blacklist?
No, I don't watch that crap. No. No.
I know it. No. Such a
No.
Such like a critic.
Shit.
Why don't you like Blacklist?
Shit. It's stupid. I've seen a couple of episodes of it. It's dumb. It's the same the one thing I can say about Hannibal that I don't like about it is that TV, especially network TV, somehow falls into, like, we need to have something, we need to dress every show around, like, an operating table or a computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the procedural part of it. And it's boring, and I think
it's
that the Blacklist...
Man.
Yeah, it is, and it's a go-to network thing. And I think that the Blacklist is so held back by that. I think he's awesome. Aside from that...
You know what the fascinating thing about that new formula of TV shows is that... It just kind of shows you how the majority of America has not caught up with technology.
Mm.
Because I feel like in most people's heads, if you see somebody in a room with a bunch of computers on, they're like, oh, he's busy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a busy guy right there. I don't know if he's playing Asteroids on like 6 computers.
Yeah, and you always have a computer in front of you now.
Yeah.
Everyone's on their phones. Like, I want a TV show about a bunch of guys on their phones. Trying to solve a murder.
Chatting away on iMessage.
Yeah, in front of a dead body. Yeah.
Just, what do you call it?
Old phones.
Handheld
phones. Did you watch that new show Leftovers?
I didn't know it started.
Yeah.
What is it about?
Basically, the rapture happens. Mm-hmm. A bunch of population.
I saw the clip. Disappears. I saw a preview to it.
Pretty freaking good.
What channel is it on?
HBO. Pretty freaking good.
I'll check that out. It's a good thing. I'll check that out later.
I like Justin Theroux. I like that guy a lot.
Yeah, he's good. Good guy.
Doctor Who's on it.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Get some really cool dog murdering.
Yeah.
Big part of his dog murdering is a focal point of this episode.
There's a lot of rapturous and revelations type fiction out there.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there always was, but now it's like it's coming to the forefront because you have, I think on Channel 7 you had that show Resurrection.
Yes.
Which I haven't watched, but it struck me.
All like these dead kids are coming back to life.
Yeah.
And it's a remake of another show.
And there's also a comic book called Revival,
yeah,
which is kind of interesting, which I buy in the trades. I don't know if you're caught up with it at all.
I kind of fell off with it after a while.
But the whole story is that people are starting, in one town, people are starting to come back from the dead. But as they used to be.
As they were. But slightly off.
dead and there's something wrong with them and there's like aliens involved.
Oh, okay.
And they directly they tell you pretty much like after first arc like what the what's going on.
I would imagine there'd be slightly something off if their brain hasn't been getting oxygen for like a number of years.
It's borderline mystical. It's like that stuff. But like the thing with Leftovers that I know about it is that they never tell you what happens to these people at all. And I think this, the show and the story, because it's based on a series of books, you can tell it's such an answer to 9/11. It's like the same type of mourning. It's all about grief and getting on with your life and stuff like that.
But on the show, like the rapture happens.
Yeah, well,
in what sense? Like
the first shot of the episode is a woman talking on her cell phone and she's carrying around her baby like in a supermarket and she's like rolling around. She's doing chores and talking on the phone and not really paying attention to the kid. And then she goes into the parking lot and then she hangs up the phone and she turns around. The baby's not in the car seat anymore. And then you hear another kid like where's my dad? My dad was just here. And, like, they're freaking out and, like, everyone's just screaming and then it takes place 3 years after all of that. So you don't literally see it happen. Mm-hmm. It just kind of, it falls.
So what happened? They just floated away to heaven?
They just disappeared.
Okay.
And they never ever say, like, it's the rapture. Like, straight up, it's, like, scientists saying, like, we don't understand this. We don't get this.
They just disappeared.
Yeah, it's them still trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, people lost their entire families and, like, there's a cult that's, like, a couple of cults that start up around this stuff.
That's interesting.
All the dogs went crazy. We that saw it. Like they all became wild again. Awesome.
I'll check it out.
Right? That is actually fascinating.
It's pretty good. Shot very nicely too.
Give me some more news.
We also got. I think Hasbro was the one that screwed up. We got to see what the rest of the Star Wars movie structure looks like for the next few years. So the first thing that came out was Tamora Morrison. Was that I'm saying his name?
Yes,
Tamora Morrison. Who played Jango Fett in Attack of the
Clones? Trilogies, the prequels.
Yeah. He'll be returning for the Boba Fett solo movie, which
great
sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And that's the one probably being directed by, I forgot his name. It's supposedly a very good director attached to that. But what it looks like is 2014, we're getting Rebels, which is the TV show. We're getting 2015, we're getting Episode 7. 2016, we're getting Boba Fett. 2017, Episode 8. 2013 Han Solo movie, solo movie.
It's weird. It's. I think
that's gonna be the biggest disaster.
I think the Boba Fett thing is. I don't know if as much as I want to see it, I know deep down that I'm like, this is probably not a good idea.
Really?
Yeah, man. Like, unless you make it like, my pitch for a Boba Fett movie would be him catching just doing bounty hunter stuff.
Yeah.
Apart from all the Star Wars crap.
I think that's what's going to be. I think that they've pitched it as like a man with no name, like Western type of thing.
That's fine.
Yeah. That's what I want.
That's fine with me.
I don't want to see him turning into a good guy. I want him seeing doing like being like bounty hunter scum.
What would you do with the Han Solo movie?
How do you meet Chewbacca? I would do it with Seth Rogen and James Franco.
As Chewbacca.
Seth Rogen as Chewbacca and just have them as a buddy gay comedy. Of them meeting and like saving, breaking slavery, Chewbacca and bringing him along in a ship. I know, cover scene. I think it's gonna be young stuff. I think it's gonna be probably, the Han Solo story. Like no one, I don't want to see, like, aging dad, Harrison Ford.
I wouldn't mind that, man, because he'd be like,
for the Star Wars movies, fine. Yeah. But for an entire, say, 2 hour movie.
Mm-hmm.
Hour and a half, if we're lucky.
I just want to hear Han Solo call Luke Skywalker kid again. I'd be happy with that.
Still do that.
The fandom.
Still do it.
It's interesting how like all this stuff from like our youth is just like it's everything's constantly getting recycled. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Transformers fan, and I was thinking about it yesterday, and I was like, it's still here. Mm-hmm. Like they're still here, and like all this cool stuff is still coming out. Like as far as merch goes, and you know what? We did have this conversation the other day. They're not the best movies, but I love those freaking movies.
What, the Transformers stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard so many bad things about this one, though.
I'm sure it's a piece of crap, but it probably looks amazing.
I can't get over the fact that it's 2.5 hours.
Yeah, the third one was like 3 hours also. Yeah,
I can't believe this stuff. And that they discover like the metal, like the stuff that makes them into Transformers, like the stuff that it's called Transformium.
Okay.
Yeah. And you get Kelsey Grammer.
As like
a bad guy.
But it's Kelsey Grammer. He's not like the voice of.
No, like I think that he becomes like Scorponok's human driver or whatever.
He becomes Megatron.
Stupid.
What was the story for this one? It was that humans found out how to build Transformers,
right? Well, yeah, they figured out like the like how they can create them themselves.
Okay.
But the same shit where, like, you know, the government is looking for the Autobots because they saved the world three times and now they need to go after them.
And they're, like, decommissioned.
Yeah, and so, like, Marky Mark finds it. He gets a gigantic sword. And they make... And I think the big climax of the movie is that you get, like, the anti-Autobots. Like, you get not Decepticons, but you get, like, an evil Optimus Prime. You get an evil, like, Bumblebee and stuff like that. Like, what was his name? Scourge? That was the black convoy?
No.
Something like that, though.
Goliath. No, that was on Knight Rider. The one who made the...
it's a big purple sword.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I totally... No, Scourge was one of the Decepticons that got one of the Jets in the Transformers movie got turned into Scourge. It was Scourge, Dirge, and Galvatron.
Scourge, Dirge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... I know exactly what you're talking about. Because, you know, I'm picturing the... Because they sell the Masterpiece one at the conventions. It's like the Japanese
Man,
and it's just called Black Convoy.
Black Convoy. We all its name is called Convoy.
Yeah,
Big Convoy. Yeah.
Comics, man.
Comics. Well, we got a little more news.
Yeah.
We got they're shopping around for an awesome Doctor Strange comic. I mean, kind of getting that from the new Avengers stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, with it, their movie coming out eventually, and him being mentioned in the Avengers movie, the Captain America movie, it looks like Kieran Gillen is probably getting the job as writer for
beautiful.
I think it's great.
He does great Supernatural stuff.
Did you read did you finish that his other book, The Wicked and Divine
book? The first issue?
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
Awesome, right?
Yeah. Really dug it.
We're looking forward to that. Outcast came out last week. We didn't get a chance to talk about it.
Yeah.
Outsold Walking Dead number one.
Okay.
Which is not saying much. Yeah. Walking Dead number one didn't really sell well.
Jenna.
really awesome take on possession, demons, haunted lives. Awesome art.
Yeah.
And should we go into the big news and then about the Marvel thing?
Yeah. Well, what was your takeaway on Outcast?
My takeaway?
Yeah.
That it was a good read.
Right. Fantastic book, right?
Yeah.
I gave it to my wife to read and she read it and then I was like, this is supposed to be awesome. I didn't read it yet.
Yeah.
She read it. She was like, yeah, it's all right. And I was like, you know what? I guarantee you that I will read this and it'll probably be freaking fantastic.
Yeah,
and it's going to be an amazing book. And I read it like yesterday, and I was like, "This is awesome."
Solid book. It's a good. Yeah. It's a nice meaty first issue.
Very moody.
Yeah, given like that's whole. Yeah, the mood is a big part of the book. I think it's a good start. I think you should probably give it to her again when there's an arc done, and you have a better understanding of what this world.
More
is.
More of a scope.
More of a scope.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Original Sin and then go into?
Sure, we'll talk about Original
Sin. The big thing. Because I think that leads the way into, like, all this other stuff, kind of. Because it's the constant rejiggering and reimagining of the Marvel Universe within the universe without a hard restart.
Mm.
And the Nick Fury thing, I think, is huge.
Yeah.
Because if you picked up Original Sin number 4, the last page is an old Nick Fury who's been living on a satellite, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's been living on a spaceship for his entire adult life, and he's old. And every Nick Fury that has been in the Marvel Universe has been an LMD.
Yeah.
A really good LMD.
And all these LMDs have been sent out to destroy threats that they wouldn't know.
Right.
Because he's been aging. There's no Infinity Formula, obviously. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know how I totally feel about. I like the Nick Fury, like, always working with his origin and screwing with him. And I really like this idea at its heart. But the problem is that it just kind of screws with a lot of the great stuff that came out of Secret Warriors.
Right.
Which is, like, the most in-depth. You know, Fury story you ever really got. But I like the idea of him being the guy in the wall, kind of like stopping the threats. And like you see, like in the comic, you see all like the bodies that Punisher and Doctor Strange are found in like the Netherworld and like on the different worlds and stuff like
and
that.
And the monsters.
The monsters. I like it. I like it a lot. I still don't know where this is all going.
Yeah. The one thing that jumped out into my head was.
Two more issues left? 7 issues, I think?
It's 8 issues.
Oh.
Yeah, so there's 2
three
left.
Yeah, 3. This is 3. That was 5.
It was 5?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So 3. The one thing that popped in my head after the Nick Fury reveal was, so what does that mean for the new Nick Fury's son?
Well, I think the early prediction on this, and I think we're both kind of agreement, that they're beginning moving Nick Fury over to become like the new Watcher.
Right.
And that they're going to have, you know, Nick Fury Jr. be properly...
in his place as the only Nick Fury.
Right, but, I mean, how does, if this guy's been on a spaceship for 50 friggin' years, how does that work?
Oh, that he made a baby at some point? Yeah, but gee, I think he's come down a few times.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of those flashbacks, he did do a lot of the floating around and going back. I don't think he's only been predominantly on this spaceship.
Mm.
I think he spends most of his summers there.
It kind of makes it a little bit of a jumble.
It does. I mean, but that's what this stuff always does. Yeah. And then it's the job of a writer from 2 or 3 years from now to work it all out.
Oh, I fixed this.
Yeah, I fixed it. Made it work.
I like where it's going. I really want to know what the big secrets are, because that's what that I think is the most intriguing thing about the book.
Well, we saw most of them. Mm. I think, like, we're seeing the Spider-Man stuff play out.
Yeah.
The fact that there's another woman who's been in hiding all of her life, like in an apartment, learning about Spider-Man, who has Spider-Man's powers.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the Iron Man stuff happen. That Iron Man was the one that had sabotaged the gamma bomb.
Right. Yeah.
There's another one. Something with Ben Grimm. That book sucks. I'm really trying to get through Fantastic Four, but that book is so terrible.
Yeah.
There's another one. Oh, still getting the Angela's sister.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't know if there's gonna be a big reveal in this thing. I would hope there's a big reveal.
Yeah.
In this particular story.
Well, the Angela Thor sister thing was a little... It was cheated a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And in that one panel, Thor was like, I have a sister.
I have a sister.
God of Thunder was excellent this week, too.
I don't know if you read it.
Very good stuff.
Yeah.
Very intriguing. Moon Knight, phenomenal book.
Awesome book.
But again, like, we're consequences with these big storylines, you know? And the consequence for this, I think, is it's a jumping point for the big rumor that's circulating, which is the complete restart of the Marvel Universe, right?
Right. I think this is the beginnings of it. I think more than anything, the next one, Axis, is supposed to be the one that kind of puts all this stuff on its head, because it's Remender. But I think this is the beginnings of kind of dirtying up the universe first, like making stuff a little more broken. So if they do a reboot, it's going to make, you know, oh, they've gone too far. It's now to start over.
Yeah.
So the big rumor is that somewhere along the line, because like New Avengers and especially New Avengers has been dealing with alternate realities and time has been breaking in all the different books, so we're seeing some type of decay of the universe. Mm-hmm. The big theory is that they're going to relaunch everything, and then they're eventually going to get, when the new universe starts, there's going to be no mutants whatsoever. They'll only be Inhumans. Inhumans will be the minority.
Okay.
And there'll be no X-Men, no Wolverine, no FF.
Mm.
Because these are things that are owned by other companies in terms of film rights.
Right.
My theory is that this is going to happen.
No Spider-Man.
I think Spider-Man is the one they'll let through.
Mm.
I think at some point they are going to make a deal with Sony.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to work out with New Line. Is it New Line still owes them? Fox.
Yeah,
Fox is the other stuff. I think they are going to do a lot of this, but I think they're going to get rid of the Ultimate Universe and they're going to have a movie-specific universe. They're going to have a universe on the side that if you're just watching the movies, you can pick up a comic and see, like, Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow, you know, the Inhumans as Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Which would be great if they restarted the Ultimate Universe and did that with it.
That's what I think they're leaning. I think that's what they're kind of going towards. Mm-hmm. I can't see them doing a full-blown reboot. If they did, it's a really, really ballsy move. If it sticks around for a few months, okay. Yeah.
But I mean, the fact that the rumor, the first time I read it a couple of weeks ago, I was like, this is ridiculous. And it started with, you know, like, no more mutants. You're not going to have, there's no more Wolverine running around. There's no more Cyclops. There's no more X-Men. There's nobody. But at the same time, because that universe is so big, how many of those characters are you truly going to miss? Besides your core canon of
Marvel?
Yeah. I'm saying
I miss them all.
Besides your core canon of like Wolverine, Cyclops, Storm, your favorite X-Men characters, you know. Because you can keep the villains around for the most part.
Yeah, I guess. I just can't see it logistically working in terms of, I can't see a company making a decision like, you know what, we're going to cut our characters down. Because they're looking at the tail end of possibly DC going back to their own, to the old pre-52 stuff. And now they're thinking of doing the same thing, of really doing this marketing strategy of let's get away the non-licensed characters.
Yeah, I think as far as DC goes, the writing's on the wall for them.
Yeah, there's some type of shakeup going to be happening.
Yeah.
But Marvel, like... Well, also, Access, which is the storyline that's coming out of it. So In Uncanny Avengers, you've been kind of teasing that Red Skull is eventually going to turn to Onslaught, and right. that he's going to take over the world. So that's kind of the big thing they're leading up to. Mm-hmm. What the big secret of Access is apparently is that Red Skull uses his mind powers to make all the good guys bad guys and all the bad guys good guys. So we're seeing a Carnage series coming at us where he's the hero of New York, mm-hmm. a Hobgoblin series where he's the hero of New York, which is interesting. It's a very interesting way of doing it.
I agree with that.
I think they're going to do more dirtying up where a lot of people are going to do some really terrible stuff.
Yeah.
And that this is going to, I think that's why you see in New Avengers, you have like mm-hmm. Thanos and Maximus and what's his name?
Terax.
Namor and Terax, like mm-hmm. all these villains being the focus of the new Illuminati.
Yeah. See, that's an interesting thing. I'd like to see that happen because it's never been done before. It's very, the Marvel Universe is very, it's cohesive for the most part if you're following the stories, and especially if you're following all the time travel stuff that's been happening lately. For the past 2 years, they've been concentrating on nothing but other dimensions and time-displaced heroes and all that mm-hmm. good stuff. You know, like Spider-Man 2099 is stuck in present day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to get Miles Morales coming over at some point.
Well, he's in one of the solicits recently. He's showing up in All New X-Men.
There you go.
Yeah, but that's also because they're doing that big crossover Spider-Man.
Yeah,
where they're gonna have every Spider-Man from every reality, every time showing up in our world.
You can almost do if depending on if Slott's writing it, you can do no wrong with anything Spider-Man. You know, for the most part. But your rejiggering of the universe is gonna it's going to come back to square one again, you know, because you've done it how many times, and then you'll have your heroes return.
In terms of, you're talking about Marvel.
Right, and then your heroic age, and then this is how, because we did, what was the last one that happened, where you had Thor, like Thor number one,
the heroic age stuff.
Right, the heroic age stuff.
But it wasn't really a reset. Mm-hmm. That was the beginnings of when they were swapping creative teams.
Right.
I think the only thing we ever got in terms of a reset, like a soft reset, was the, hard reset was the Heroes Are Born stuff back in the 90s. Yeah. All the Liefeld crap. But I don't think that, I don't think they've ever really done like a major, you know, reboot. The closest you get really is the when they start sliding timelines along.
Right.
When someone comes on, like, okay, Tony Stark really didn't get hurt in the Korean War. Now he got hurt in, you know, the Vietnam War. No, now he got hurt in, you know, in Iraq, and then he got hurt in this.
Right.
So it's like that stuff, I think, is a little bit more important than restarting, because I think that Marvel's trying to pride themselves on not being DC, who has restarted the company 100 times over already.
From scratch. Right.
Yeah.
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 But you know what? This is the one time that DC didn't nail it.
Mm.
You know, I think so. I think because they've restarted the company who knows how many times. You have your like post Silver Age relaunch,
which was necessary
in 86, which was definitely necessary. And then you had, you know, like Zero Hour, Armageddon,
which also got got taken away, and they went back to post Crisis universe.
Right.
Because the only thing they really kept around with Zero Hour was the Hawkman stuff.
Right.
But they simplified it a bit more. They took away the Hawk God stuff with him.
Right. They simplified it, and also you got JSA out of it.
Yeah. They figured out how to get him off the planet.
Speaking of which,
that book, Earth 2, has become so friggin' awesome.
Really?
It is. They've done such a good job. Like, Earth 2 is DC's way of doing a new version of JSA, which is another universe where Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman were killed off in Apocalypse. Came, and that's unified the JLA. They introduced like a new Black Superman who's like he was an adopted son of the Jor-El, and he was like put away in the ship. But they said like him, someone else, and Kal-El came to Earth. Batman is Thomas Wayne. Sandman, you know, Wesley Dodd is like an agent called Sandman. Mm-hmm. Like there's a Sandman unit. There was something really cool. Oh, and Superman's now like it seems what they're doing is they're taking some really great ideas that have been littered about in Elseworld stuff and used it in this book. So like they have the Dark Side, the son of Dark Side, Superman with like the big like nasty black symbol.
Mm.
a few other things, but it's fun, and the art is really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
That's interesting. I didn't think you picked up Earth 2 anymore.
It's like one of the few... I'm usually surprised when I pick it up and read it.
Yeah.
Like Lois Lane's Red Tornado.
Okay.
They just... Superman's blasted Pa Kent. Awesome.
I'll check it. I've not... I went to the store yesterday, and I was like surprised at how much... I dropped Green Lantern.
Me too.
I dropped most DC books except for some reason, Superman Unchained. I picked up the new...
Sucked.
The Geoff Johns Superman.
Did that come out this week?
It came out last week.
Yeah, I missed it.
Not bad.
Yeah?
It's really not bad.
I'm pretty sure I missed that.
It's pretty good because it's kind of almost back to basics. Very, like, him and the... trying to get him back into the planet, you know, because he left. And Perry White trying to, like, hey, you know, I need you.
Because he turned into Doomsday.
Right. Well, I don't know if they're touching on that in the regular series.
Yeah.
Because they already did an action. He's, like, half Doomsday.
Yeah.
And I flipped through it, and I was like, I can't.
But that's the crossover. Like, yeah. In all the Superman books, the Superboy and all the other stuff, mm-hmm. and Wonder Woman, it's all, like, him turning into Doomsday. That's the whole
Super
story.
Super Doom. Yeah.
Super Doom. So stupid.
I don't know, man.
But in terms of Marvel, like, I think that it's been their one thing that, like, we haven't done the reboot. Like, we never really did the reboot.
Yeah.
For them to kind of do at this point, especially after seeing the failure of DC, why would you do this? Just because you're doing a pissing contest over licensing for your movies.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. At the end of the day, that's all it is. It's like, how much millions of more dollars can we make by churning out, like, a bunch of floppy page comic books?
Do you think it's the Disney influence at this point, where Disney, not so much Marvel is pissed off about, but Disney is saying, okay, we don't have these properties, we can't create toys out of this, we can't do a cartoon series on this, or we can't do a movie about this, which is most important.
Why does this matter to us?
Yeah.
I think that might be it. You know, like, you have to trim the fat at the end of the day.
And they're looking at the numbers of, say, like, Fantastic Four, the 1,000 Wolverine series.
Right.
All, like, the X-Factors has been canceled over the years.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's a numbers game, and it's not Marvel testing the waters with, like, oh, maybe this book will take off. And, like, what I don't understand is, like, as much as I love Marvel, they'll do things that kind of drive me crazy, where, like, I don't need a million Carnage miniseries. I don't think you say that,
but you haven't read those Carnage series.
It's a justification to have, like, Carnage miniseries every year.
Yeah. But there's a certain demographic that demands that.
No, absolutely. I completely agree with you, but, like, I don't think it does anybody any good. I think that trimming the fat on that end is a good thing, you know.
And I think they've done a better job once Axel Alonso took over. Yeah. I think they've gotten a little bit more... Because you see more chancy books coming out. Like, you get, like, a book like Moon Knight wouldn't be around, like, say, 3 years ago. In terms of the way it is. Like, Dunn and Ones, Warren Ellis has the, you know, to run whatever he wants to do with it.
Yeah.
Very freaking violent. I think we're
surprisingly violent.
Very, very violent. I love that look of him, too, the suit and the whole nine. And, like, you're getting more, like, you know, weirder books. Like, a book like Ms. Marvel.
Right.
Like, a shape-changing Arab girl. Who's a hero in wherever the hell she is.
I might drop it.
I love it, man.
Yeah, because the first two issues really sold me on it, and then it just, for me, it kind of plateaued a little bit.
Oh, have you been up to date?
Yeah, I'm up to date.
I thought that the last issue was awesome.
Yeah. I don't know, there was something missing for me.
It's been really good.
I've been looking at my stacks, and I'm like, you know what, minimal DC, regular amount of Marvel. Marvel's always been like a healthy stack, and... ton of indie, ton of Image, man.
Well, I try more stuff out when it comes to Image, but I don't think Image puts out that many books that are going to keep me around for a long period of time.
Let's go down the list, and it's interesting how, like, I think our lists are pretty good comparatively. Mm. Like, stuff that you're really into that's just doesn't fall into the realm of the big two.
BPRD. All the BPRD stuff is my major.
BPRD, right?
Yeah.
Satellite Sam for me.
Not me.
Love it. I think it's a phenomenal series. Sidekick, I really
do. No, I don't like it.
No.
It seems too much like that. I think we talked about it on the show before. Mm-hmm. It feels too much like that Image book, like that anti Marvel DC.
Okay.
You know, book.
East to West,
great.
Manhattan Projects,
great. Hickman Projects,
Walking Dead, another.
Yeah. Invincible.
Robert Kirkman, Invincible.
Outcast.
Outcast.
We'll see how that goes.
Alex and Ada.
Yeah.
Have you read that?
Yeah, I'm way behind on it. It's not grabbing like the other series have.
Like, the other Luna stuff? Yeah. Because
we're missing one of them in this one. We only get one Luna brother.
Yeah. I forgot. There was a couple other. Bounce?
Don't like it.
No?
It never grabbed me. Like, I told you the other day, like, I only read the first two, and it just never, it's too weird.
Sex Criminals?
Good, but just coming to an end soon.
Sex?
That stopped it.
Yeah?
Broke it, ended it.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
It's good. And that's the stuff, like, I kind of look forward to more now, because I'm, like, really vested into all these stories than... You know, I don't know what Green Lantern's doing at this point.
Yeah, but I'm okay.
I don't
with
really
that.
Care.
Yeah, you know? I'm okay with that, because you know what this, you know, the you know what's going on in DC is just generally disappointing. You don't really want to go near it, and you're waiting for something else to happen. The Image stuff, like I know, and there's even more good Image stuff coming in. I'm not putting down Image at all, but me, who's looking at a wall of text of books that are coming out, who doesn't read previews,
okay,
and that looks at, like, you know, Sidekick number one, Badass number one,
right?
You know, Splooge number one,
Southern Bastards.
Southern Bastards is awesome.
Deadly Class,
don't read it.
Sovereign,
don't read
there's
it.
There's so much. There's so much, like, good.
But that's all. But I think a lot of those books are just kind of resting on the laurels that they're new. I think a lot of them, once that you go beyond that first arc, there's not a lot beyond them, because I think a lot of the stuff that Image does that gets okayed very easily is something taking the superhero structure and kind of turning it on its head.
Okay.
You know, I think a lot of it is more of a, not satire, but more like a...
Like an FU.
Yeah, like a Rising Stars type of thing, where you're taking these archetypes and you're playing around with them, making them a little darker.
Sheltered.
Sheltered's awesome.
Phenomenal book.
Yeah. Sheltered is awesome. I picked up a... there's another book I just picked up, too. I like this guy, Rob Williams.
Robin Williams.
Not that guy. I like him, too. I forgot what he wrote. But he wrote a Marvel book, and he wrote the RoboCop book that came out.
Okay,
which I loved.
Yeah,
I was so surprised when you said you didn't pick up.
I passed, man. I flipped through it, and I was like,
The art's good. I love the cover, and it's straight up, like, no bullshit RoboCop. Like,
yeah,
like, he will be blasting people.
RoboCop 1 and 2 RoboCop.
Yeah, totally, totally. Like, heavy drug influence. What was the other book I read? Like, I picked up Trees.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that's Trees
another,
good.
Another great series.
Nailbiter, I'm reading. You reading Nailbiter?
No.
That's really good.
Trees actually was the first book in a long time that really intrigued me, like, extremely. It intrigued me on a different level.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I really, really want to find. I was very ensconced, and I really, really want to find out where this is going.
Yeah.
And plus, it's Warren Ellis.
Caliban? You read Caliban?
No.
Awesome. That's Garth Ennis.
I know. Yeah. I know. I have them. I have them at home.
What's the other one I was reading? Stray Bullets is now published by Image. Like, a lot of this stuff, like C-listers I have, didn't read last broadcast. Thomas Aslop.
Have you read
White Suits?
MPH.
I didn't like it.
No?
Didn't care for it.
I dug it, man.
His stuff, I think, I really am kind of done with.
Starlight, love it.
It's okay.
Yeah.
His stuff, I really don't think he's trying too hard. Okay. I think he's just designing for, okay, this is a kind of a skeleton script of a thing that I want to be made.
This is the next movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see that with all the stuff that he puts out nowadays.
Secret Service is getting turned into a movie, right?
Yeah, and that actually looks pretty decent. And I thought that was one of the best things that he put out in a long time.
I'll agree with that, yeah.
Like, I hated Nemesis. I'm talking about Mark Miller, by the way. I hate Nemesis. I think every one of the Kick-Ass stuff has been really, like, going down and down and down.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see a return of the Authority. Like, classic...
Hell yeah,
brutal
man.
Brutal Authority.
But they screwed it up. They made it into, like, really, like, PG bullshit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your easy fix for the DCU at this point is alternate dimension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're going to have some type of, like, contest of champions, like the old DC versus the new DC. Yeah. Sad, man.
It is. It is a little sad.
But, yeah, I would say Image is doing a lot. It's just in terms of... it's in terms of the glut, and I can't see, even when they do the preview pages in the back of a book, a lot of the stuff kind of has that same type of overall feel that they all kind of do.
Lazarus,
I'm behind on that. I would be reading more
great
Lazarus.
Yeah. Velvet, also a great book.
Which one?
Velvet.
I don't like Velvet.
No?
That's the one with is that Greg Rucka?
I think it's Brubaker.
Which one's Velvet?
Velvet
is Brubaker. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The lady spy.
Yeah. And Lazarus is Greg Rucka.
Yes.
And there's another one, Greg Rucka book that he put out that I didn't like. It was like a horror book.
I didn't read that.
It was a chick. It was like a one title.
Didn't read it. It's a Dark Horse book.
Yes. Yeah.
And also, I have that. I haven't checked that out
yet. I don't like it.
I totally lost my train of thought. It's Fatale, which is coming to an end, which I think you dropped, right?
You know what? I really tried everything in my power to really like it. How can I not like this book? Lovecraft stuff.
Yeah.
Cults, mystery. I read the first arc. I thought the first arc was super long.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, after they moved to another time period, after they got it out of like the 1950s Hollywood stuff, I dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I was okay with just kind of dropping it.
You know, it's like, it's coming to an end, I think, in 2 months. I believe issue 24 or 25 is going to be the last issue. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, it feels like this book has been around
forever
because they're very
meaty. The book is so boring.
They're very meaty books. I don't think I love the book. That's one of my favorite reads.
I more than likely will read it after it's all said and done.
Mm.
I got a really awesome, two volume Lovecraft anthology.
Oh yeah.
Where it's just a ton of like different short stories curated by, forgot who, another horror guy. I think like Corbin or something did it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all awesome stuff.
Yeah. I'll check that out too, man.
But for me, like the stuff I get most excited for outside of the realm of Marvel that I'll always go to is obviously like Walking Dead, Invincible, especially nowadays.
Yeah. Invincible is ridiculous.
BPRD is the best published stuff, in my opinion, overall. Mm-hmm. Everything.
So behind.
You really should make it like go on vacation just to read BPRD stuff. Mm-hmm. That is the best stuff being published. Stray Bullets for me. And I Robocop.
Those are your top three non-Marvel and DC books.
Have you read any of that Original Sin stuff, the other book?
No.
Awesome.
Really?
Awesome. It's always like a joke story in it, but their Young Avengers is so... I don't remember who the artist is, but it's like a James Stokoe type of like real meaty Frank Quietly dudes.
Mm.
It's fantastic. The Hood's in it. It's good stuff, man.
Yeah, I gotta avoid some titles now, or I'm just kind of like, I drop a lot of stuff to kind of.
The good thing about Original Sins is the fact that there's not a lot tied into it. Mm-hmm. They're just like a few like handful of books.
Yeah, no more Frontline.
Original Sins close to that, but it's an anthology book.
All right, you got anything else?
That's it.
Good. All right, everybody, I think we're gonna wrap it up. It's hot.
I'm good, man.
Yeah?
You should really invest in not wearing shoes to the studio.
I can't do that.
Why not?
I can't be wearing no mandals.
Why?
Because. Don't want to.
Is your reputation going to be hurt here?
Yeah.
This man never wears shoes.
But it's his house. We're in his house.
Yeah, exactly. But we can do the same thing.
All right, everybody. This is Behind the Counter. We'll see you soon. Later. Good night.